Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate, Rob Brown, the Great Milonzo, and you on a hashtag Friday football fiesta. We are going to get into the football games of the weekend. We are going to give you our predictions, projections, and prognostications for the next few days. We are going to evaluate, but was last night the funniest NFL game in a very long time? It felt like it was to me. You had number one. At one point,
funny because people your age are out there winning games.
Partially, the Icy Hot Bowl. Partially because I had two guys my age or older starting and playing well in an NFL game. But no, I had at one point.
It wasn't like there were two old guys out there throwing in the dirt. They were slinging.
No, they were slinging. Both of them went over 340. Both of them had at least two tutties. Like, it was a great night for both of those quarterbacks.
And it's a rivalry game, too.
It was spectacular. But funny because of, like, three different moments. Number one, Aaron Rodgers, they try to run, like, a little trick play. Jalen Warren gets it wrong. Aaron Rodgers looked like he was about to, like, rock 'em, sock 'em robots Jalen Warren's head off his shoulders. Then Joe Flacco had a wide-open pass to Ja'Marr Chase, and Ja'Marr Chase dropped it. That's not a thing. And they put the camera back on Joe Flacco's face, and he had the most confused, confounded look on his face I've ever seen. He had the look on his face that my wife had on her face the first time I said, I hear the problem you're having, sweetheart. Maybe you should join me in taking a fiber supplement. Huh?
I was going to say, yes, he looks constipated, yeah. Without a doubt.
Yeah, just absolutely bewildered that Ja'Marr Chase dropped a ball. Then you had Aaron Rodgers throw a touchdown pass, and one of his 340-pound offensive linemen jumps on his back and tackles him behind, and that dude came up looking like, you mother, get off of me, and I only say that because I'm 92% sure he actually said, you mother, get off of me.
I'm pretty sure he did. I'm guessing, I don't know if this is done in the NFL, but it wouldn't shock me if that dude's running 40s or something.
I thought Mike Tomlin was going to beat that dude's ass.
Do you find some? I mean, you can't fine him. I mean, you just got to punish him in practice.
No, I mean, I think you got to make like a joke out of the situation. Like, hey, man, I don't know if you know this, but Aaron Rodgers is 41 years old. You can't be jumping on his back, you 350-pound behemoth.
All right, maybe.
No.
Maybe he pays for Aaron's next darkness retreat. Maybe that's it. That's how he goes. Sorry, dude.
Next round of ayahuasca's on you, bro. All right, we got to get to a lot of stuff. Again, we will start breaking down the football weekend, making our picks here in just a little while. I do want to talk a little NL and ALCS. Both of these series, very interesting for very different reasons. I'm going to get to that in a minute because both of those series were in action last night. And of course, by next Tuesday at the latest, we will have our World Series set up. So we're getting to that here in just a little while. A lot of news from around the sports world. So as it is, 7:03 in the morning, almost 7:04. As a matter of fact, you have 54 minutes as of right now, 56 minutes, sorry, from right now to get your bootay to the office. You got to know what's going on. We're just killing time because everybody's working for the weekend. You got to kill a little time. How do you do it talking sports with your coworkers? You got to talk sports. You got to know what's going on. You need to know what's going on. Don't worry. That's why we do this.
Rob Brown Show, what are you
going to talk about? Tis indeed the water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports this AM. When you do, this is what you are going to be talking about with your coworkers, your supervisor, your manager, your boss, your IT guy, whoever it might be. This is what you'll be talking about. Allow us to begin with item number one. We talked about it a little bit in the last segment of the show, and we will likely be talking about it again. Kurt Cignetti is now one of the highest paid head coaches in college football, signed an 8-year contract yesterday with the Indiana Hoosiers that will pay him an average salary of about $11.6 million. Cignetti guided the Hoosiers to a 10-2 record and a surprising college football playoff appearance in his very first season at the school last year. This season, the number three Hoosiers are 6-0 heading into Saturday's game against Michigan State. They do not have another ranked game on the schedule. They will be a favorite in every game the rest of the year, which also means that the Indiana Hoosiers right now, along with the Ohio State Buckeyes, are the two teams in the Big Ten still in control of their own destiny as it stands right now. Everyone else from USC down has at least one loss, meaning that an undefeated year from Indiana and Ohio State. And even if not, if Indiana was to drop one, they would have obviously the tiebreaker over Oregon. And the question mark will be, will USC drop one? Same with Ohio State. So, at 3-0, the Indiana Hoosiers in charge of their destiny in the conference. And, of course, remember, a conference championship would get them likely out of the Big Ten a bye in the first round of the college football playoffs. Cignetti also, of course, is last year's Big Ten Coach of the Year and National Coach of the Year by several media outlets in 2024. Over the time that he has been at Indiana, the Hoosiers are 17-2, including an 11-1 record against Big Ten opponents. Kurt Cignetti announced along with the university yesterday this contract. He also went on to say that he plans on retiring a Hoosier. Now, we were having an interesting conversation, I thought, in the last segment, and I realized in our post-game press conference of hour number one, which is the live stream that we do every day at facebook.com/thefanupstate, the Fan Upstate on YouTube and Twitter, the Rob Brown Show on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Join us. We keep the conversation going with you, the Armada, during the break. And I realized perhaps, perchance, per maybe, Lonzo, when I crossed the wires a little bit in the last segment, because the question that Lonzo was asking was effectively, why would you leave a place like Indiana to go to Penn State when the pressure is immensely higher at Penn State? And as of now, though it is only year two, you haven't really done anything more than James Franklin has done at Penn State. Go be 10-2, 11-1, get into a Big Ten title game, but you haven't won anything. So why would you up the pressure by going to Penn State? And I realized that that hooks to kind of what I was saying at the beginning of the last segment, which is effectively, because up until literally yesterday, I did not think for a second that Indiana would be able to come up with an 8-year, $93 million contract for a coach. I did not think Indiana, $93 million for a head coach is something Penn State puts on the table. I did not think the Indiana Hoosiers were coming off $93 million for a head coach. So the reason I thought he would have gone is that much money. Now, the question that I asked during the break, and I'd like to get your thoughts on it, great one, is this. If you get an 8-year, $93 million head coaching deal at Indiana, does that not mean that the expectations are now as high at Indiana as they are at Penn State, considering you now have Penn State money? Are the expectations as high for Kurt Cignetti at Indiana? We expect you to be a consistent contender. We expect 10 wins. We expect you competing for and likely occasionally winning some Big Ten titles. Or do you look and you go, hey, man, if you go 10-2 every year, that's spectacular, because Penn State expects better than that.
Well, that's what it's going to be for a while. It's going to be, we expect you to go at least 10-2. I think if he does that for 4 years, good. After that, then it's going to be, hey, you got to do something else.
I think that's fair. All right, let's get to item number two. I've got a couple of scores from active games that took place last night. We start in the National Football League, 33-31. The Cincinnati Bengals go get a dub, an upset win over the Pittsburgh Steelers behind the eternal and immortal arm of one Joe Flacco old. 31-47, 342 yards, three touchdowns, a QB rating of 108.6. Chase Brown ran 11 times for 108 yards. Jamar Chase, 161 yards on 16 catches and a touchdown. And he also had one drop that would have been like another 30 yards down the football field. That guy could have threatened 200 through the air last night. Still a great game from Jamar Chase. Oh, yeah, T. Higgins was there, too. Six grabs, 96 yards. He scored a touchdown. Noah Fant caught the other touchdown for the Bengals. 4 for 44 yards in a tutty for number 86. Joe Flacco was good last night, especially in the clutch, because at one point, and I don't know if you heard this, I genuinely had a out loud chuckle, dare I say giggle last night, because our guy Kirk Herbstreit was calling the game, as he does every Thursday night along with Al Michaels, and with like 2 minutes and some change left to go, the Pittsburgh Steelers got the football back, trailing by three. Or two, whatever number. Oh, no, six. They were down a touchdown. That's right. Anyway, Herbstreit is like, look, I'm from Ohio, guys. He's like, I got a group thread with buddies of mine from Ohio. And he said the name of the text thread was, if I recall correctly, like despair or pain. Oh, he said it was pain. He said the group text is called pain. It's all my Ohio guys where we just complain about Ohio sports. And he said, there's not a person in this stadium wearing a white shirt or a white jersey that isn't terrified that they are about to walk out of this building with a 31-30 Steelers win because you gave Aaron Rodgers the football back with well over 2 minutes left to play. And like two plays later, Aaron Rodgers goes a 68-yard Hail Mary down the field to Pat Freiermuth, who scores a touchdown. And just like that, it's 31-30 Pittsburgh Steelers. And you could hear Kurt at that point like, yeah, that checks out. That makes sense. But then, enter stage right, the immortal arm of Joe Flacco, brother. Joe Flacco goes and leads the Bengals on a 68-yard drive that set them up to kick a go-ahead field goal with 7 seconds left to play. The Bengals able to get up out of there with a dub in what was one of the funniest games I've ever seen in my life. I got 350-pound offensive lineman tackling 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers was ticked. Tomlin was ticked. I got Aaron Rodgers ready to rock 'em, sock 'em, robots, uppercut Jaylen Warren's head off of his shoulders for blowing up a trick play. I got Joe Flacco hitting Jamar Chase, dropping one in the hands, and they turn the camera to him. He looks like, you know what Joe Flacco looked like? He looked like he was 40, and it was the first time he sneezed and his back hurt. That happened to me like a year ago. I sneezed, my back, when I say my back hurt, I mean it went out. I mean, I had to lay on the couch. And I had to have, I am not the guy who like wants my wife to wait on me. I'm not that guy. I can do it myself. I want something out of the fridge. I'm going to get up and go. I wait on her hand and foot. I love to do so. It makes me happy to make her life easier. I don't like to be waited on by anybody, including my wife. I had to lay on the couch because I sneezed and threw my back up for like 10 hours. Just asking her for everything because I couldn't move. Flacco, when Jamar Chase dropped that ball, he looked like I looked when that happened the very first time. Just absolute shock and dismay about the situation that I'm in. It was one of the funniest games I've ever seen or heard of. And then I had Kurt going, you know, everybody in here knows the Steelers can still win this thing. And they took the lead like two plays later. It's like, Kurt, maybe don't put that in the universe, buddy. Maybe don't throw that out there, pal. But he did. Didn't matter. Joe Flacco saved him. Over in Major League Baseball, the NLCS last night. Game 3 goes the way of the LA Dodgers. They win 3-1 over the Brew Crew. Now have Milwaukee on the verge of elimination with two games still to be played in Los Angeles. Tyler Glasnow, 5.23 hits, one run, K'd 8 in his showing last night. 99 pitches for Tyler Glasnow before they turned it over to Vesia, Trainin, Banda, and Sasaki for the close. Over on the other side, Aaron Ashby was the starter for Milwaukee. He's a bullpen starter. Usually they're going to throw him out there to create a couple of matchup problems in the front end of the lineup before they move to the next guy. Ashby threw 0.1 innings, gave up two hits and earned run before he got the hook for Jacob Mizorowski. Mizorowski deserved a win last night. 5 innings, 3 hits, 2 runs, K'd 9 on 73 pitches last night before they had to go to Uribe and Koenig. But What have I been saying about this series? You know what's scary about the Dodgers? It's not that they are slinging big dongs around every baseball stadium in America. The scary thing about the Dodgers right now is that the pitching is so good, you can hold the Dodgers to 4 hits and 3 runs, 5 hits and 2 runs, and they can still beat you, even with the bats Milwaukee has. The Dodgers have won, what is that, like 6 1- or 2-run low-scoring under games so far? If they can win those games, and also the bats get hot, they're winning the World Series. But they will have to beat somebody from the American League, which we don't know who it's going to be. Because Seattle went to Toronto and won the first two to put the Blue Jays down on the whole 0-2. Toronto is now to come to Seattle, and they've won the first two in Seattle. That series in the ALCS now tied at 2 games apiece and is now guaranteed to go back to Toronto for at least 1 game. Seattle last night was atrocious. It's the worst game I've seen the Mariners play in the postseason. Luis Castillo, supposed to be the ace, 2.1, 5 hits, 3 runs. Cade just won, gave up a dong in that one. On the flip side, Max Scherzer, 41 years old. It was the night of the old man yesterday. And it's an old man. It made me happy. Or at least as happy as I'm capable of being as an old man. Scherzer went 5.2, 3 hits, 2 runs allowed, K5 in 87 pitches and was just absolutely making the Mariners look silly. They would end the night with just 5 total hits. A team that was clobbering the baseball on the road in Toronto can't hit the ball in their own park. Is this one from a series I thought was over in 4 to it might be over in 6 with Toronto winning 4 in a row. We'll find out. We'll talk more about the AL and NLCS later on in the show, but let's get to item number 3. Just going to give you the headline and the deets on this one because we are going to talk about it at length coming up here in just a few moments from now. Clemson quarterback Cade Klubnik, now officially listed as questionable for their matchup against SMU tomorrow. The school listed the 3-year starter as questionable because of an ankle injury sustained in the 41-10 win over Boston College last week. Young quarterbacks out there, listen to Uncle Rob. It's okay to slide. You do not need to take, especially if your team's kicking ass, you don't need to take unnecessary contact because what ends up happening is this. Cade took some contact late in that game unnecessarily. Now he may not be able to go. If he can't, Christopher Vezina would get the start. Dabo said Vezina's the guy for sure, and he's got to get it done. We've got confidence that he can. Vezina has played sparingly this season. 50% completion on 7 of 14 for just 37 yards. Was the number 7 ranked quarterback by ESPN in the class of 2023. This would be his first start if Klubnik is unable to go. And again, listed as questionable. 50-50 toss-up. They'll probably give him an opportunity to kind of rest it today and see where he is at tomorrow. Just because I find this interesting, Clemson has not had a starting quarterback miss a game since Trevor Lawrence sat out 2 games because of COVID protocols back in 2020. That is the last time Clemson rolled into a game without QB1 available. This is interesting. This is interesting because this is an SMU team that offensively can move the ball around. Kevin Jennings is a dog. Defensively, they stink. Here's the problem. They're decent against the run. They're bad against the pass. If Cade Klubnik can go out there and sling it around a little bit, Clemson should win this game comfortably. If Cade Klubnik isn't available, and if Christopher Vezina is not developed and ready to be QB1, that can change the entire dynamic of this football game. And what is the conversation around Clemson if you do lose this game, but there's no Cade Klubnik? How does that loss sting? Does it feel different? Is it something you go, okay, we're going to give you a pass on this one, Dabo? We'll talk more about that coming up later in this hour. We'll talk about that Gamecock effort against Oklahoma. Can they win against the Boomer Sooners? I'll give you some thoughts on that. We'll take a look at the rest of the college and pro slate as well. All of that and more as the show rolls on. Rob Brown, the great Milonzo, and you. The Rob Brown Show is live on the Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader. Here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it.
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
The hashtag Friday Football Fiesta underway here on the Rob Brown Show, here on the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the group Melonzo, and you. Cade Klubnik listed as questionable for the matchup tomorrow against SMU. I would like to take a brief gander at this game and what this means. Cade Klubnik took a shot late in that game against Boston College. The team was up 4 touchdowns. He was out there running like the national championship was on the line. You know, you appreciate intensity, aggression. You appreciate a guy who's just going all out, laying it on the line. But, and this is something I always tried to, when I was coaching, this is something I always tried to teach the kids on my team. I will always appreciate intensity. I will also always appreciate aggression. I will always appreciate you laying it all out. At the same time, sometimes you got to do the smart thing, not the aggressive thing. Sometimes you've got to do the smart thing, not the intense thing. Jamar Chase last night, big ball down the field, late in the game. He's got an opportunity to walk one into the end zone, but he didn't. He just got down to the 5-ish yard line and took a slide. He could have scored. He could have put a stat up on the table. He didn't do it. That's the smart thing. Why? Now all we have to do is kick a chip shot field goal to get out of here with a win, whereas if we score with, you know, 50 whatever seconds was left on the clock, we're giving Aaron Rodgers a bunch of time. It's obvious if you know ball. But in the heat of the moment, the aggression can cause you to want to get that done. Sometimes you've got to do the smart thing. The smart thing would have been to get down. Still probably would have got cracked, but probably not quite as much. Either way, here is what I'm looking at. I am right now under the belief that Cade Klubnik is not going to play. Now, I do not have in on any authority that Cade Klubnik is not going to play. I don't think a decision has been made. In fact, if anything, I would fully suspect that you will see Cade Klubnik fully dressed at warmups tomorrow. I suspect you will see him try to go. I suspect you will see him give it what he's got. I suspect that the Clemson Tigers will do everything in their power to get him as ready and able to go as possible. But the fact that the first injury report came out as questionable, it was 2 days before the game, and on top of that, we haven't heard a word about Cade Klubnik. Ordinarily, you would hear from either in a report or from Dabo or from somebody, yeah, he's listed as questionable, but he did this in practice. He ran this many snaps. He was trying to jog it. He was trying to do this, do that, whatever. Sorry, T. Higgins, not Jamar Chase. Thank you very much, T. Experience. Appreciate the correction there. It was T. Higgins. You are exactly correct. So, we haven't heard anything about it. I am, after a couple of conversations I've had and just watching it play out next to other injuries of a similar nature and how they've been handled in years gone by, I am of the belief that Cade Klubnik likely will not go unless he just gets out there and he's like, coach, turns out I feel great, right? If somebody hits the Mr. Miyagi on him, but I, as that is a movie and not a real thing, don't believe that to be the case. Here's where I find myself kind of intrigued by this. I don't know what you have in Chris Vezina. I don't know. He's played sparingly. He's thrown 14 passes on the year. I would say this. The times that he's checked into the game has been largely out of hand. I am looking at the North Carolina game. I am looking at the Boston College game. The games that Chris Vezina has checked in have largely been out of hand. I believe he also got in during the Troy game. In the Troy game, he checked in and threw zero passes. In the North Carolina game, he checked in. He went 6 of 11 for 39 yards. And in the Boston College game, he checked in. He threw 3 passes. I am probably going a little too far in the speculation here. But my belief was that Clemson needed to go out for blood against Boston College. Like, that's not a game that you could go out with the mentality and attitude of, we are worried about showing respect to our opponents. That's not a game you can go out there, oh, we don't want to run up. No, no, no. You need to run up the score for your own benefit. You need to go out there and you need to absolutely dominate that football team so that your team can experience what that is like and what that takes so that when you line up against a team with a pulse, like SMU, you at least have the mentality of that. If you sent Christopher Vezina out there at Boston College up 4 touchdowns, I know you were. I know you're in a spot where traditionally you would want to run out the clock and end the game. You sent the kid out there, you let him throw 3 passes in that game. And if I recall correctly, I don't think any of them were more than a yard or two past the line of scrimmage. I think that there is some possibility that they don't view Christopher Vezina as ready right now. They don't view him as, we trust this guy, which means that this will be a game where Clemson is going to rely on the run. I'm not saying they will not throw the ball. I'm saying it will be sparingly, and it will be effectively to keep a defense honest so that you can continue to pound the rock with Adam Randall and whoever else. I don't know that they view Christopher Vezina as ready. Now, I can talk about this from 2 different angles. The first angle that I can talk about this is from the perspective of the game itself. The thing that is unfortunate for Clemson, if Cade Klubnik can't go and you do have to go with Christopher Vezina, is this. SMU's pass defense is bad. It's not good. It is flat out bad. This is a team that in overall pass defense efficiency is the second worst pass defense in the country, ahead of only Air Force right now. Ironic, by the way, that Air Force has problem with the air game.
Yeah, it's not a good look.
Come on, guys. That's your thing. Like, that's your thing. So, you have to be able to throw the ball here. You have to be able to take advantage. Again, to me, a great coach takes advantage of weaknesses of the other team. Their weakness is the pass defense. If you don't trust Christopher Vezina to throw the football and you have to run the game, you have to have a run game. You've got to pound the rock most of the day. You're playing into what is the strong suit of the SMU defense, which is the front 7. It's a respectable, not great, but it is a respectable rushing defense. SMU's rush defense is ranked number 27 in the country in yards allowed per game. They are allowing less than 108 rushing yards per game. If you have to run into that because you don't trust your quarterback or your quarterback just can't do it, I'm not saying that I want Clemson to come out and throw the ball 47 times in this game, even if Cade is healthy. I'm saying I'd like to know that when you go to throw the ball, you can do it without concern. And if you're sending Vezina out there up four touchdowns in a game that, again, to me, was a spot that you need to, especially for your depth guys, right? Like, let's get our depth guys in a momentum. Let's get them on a roll. Because you are about to play three straight games against good quarterbacks with good wide receivers. Like, let's get our passing game on a roll in case we do end up in a shootout and we have some guys go down, get hurt, whatever. Our backup guys need to have some experience here. You let Chris Vezina throw the ball three times. So the first angle is from the game this weekend. If Vezina is starting, and if you do not trust him to throw the football, I think you set yourself up to be upset here. I think you set yourself up to be upset because you have to, or you are electing to play into the strength of their defense. You are also taking off the table the thing that you spent the last 2 weeks getting right, which is Cade Klubnik in the pass game. Then the second angle I can attack this from is long-term for the Clemson Tiger team. What do I mean by that? The philosophy of Rob Brown as far as college coaching goes is the foundation of the structure of a successful football program. The foundation is great culture. We know Clemson has a great culture. And then on that foundation, there are four pillars used to hoist up, to hold up your program. Player acquisition, player retention, player development, and game day execution. And if any one of those four pillars is cracked or knocked down, your team won't be great. It can be good, it won't be great. If Chris Vezina, who is in his second year on campus now, if I got guys, as I've had guys so far this year, buddies of mine, Clemson fans, who have texted me all separately from each other at least once each during the three games that Vezina has played, I don't think he's the guy. After already being on campus for two full off seasons, a full season, and roughly, well, half of this season. If against the worst passing, and I think we'll know more, we'll be able to say this with more clarity by Saturday night. If Christopher Vezina is not ready to go out there and be trusted to throw the football against the second worst passing defense in college football FBS level, 135th out of 136 teams. If you don't trust him to do that, if you don't trust him to be able to successfully run the pass attack against a team that is giving up over 315 passing yards, and let's not pretend that SMU has played a world beater of a schedule so far this year. It's not meant to be an insult. It is what it is. East Texas, a decent Baylor team, they lost. Missouri State, at TCU, a good team, they lost. Against Syracuse, Syracuse was missing their starting quarterback. And against Stanford, a bad football team. Not a juggernaut schedule. And yet, giving up over 315 passing yards per game. If you don't trust Chris Vezina to be able to go out and run and execute the passing attack against the second worst passing defense that gives up over 315 yards per game, that says you haven't developed the backup quarterback yet. That says to me, I mean, you can say, well, Robert Allen's because he doesn't have a ton of experience. And I know he doesn't have a ton of experience, but he does have some. So if it comes to the point where we're all going, I know you want to run, and it's good you're running the ball, but like you've got to open up the field a little bit. You've got to take some shots. And they're not doing that, then that will say to me, I'm not saying it says it now, I'm saying that will, by the end of tomorrow, say to me, you haven't developed the guy, because if you thought he was developed, you would trust him to do something. I'm intrigued to see how this game plays out, and I'll keep it a buck. I have no idea how it plays out if Cade Klubnik is unavailable. What I will very simply say is, if I don't see marked improvement out of Vezina, I become very apprehensive about next season, a bounce back season for the Clemson Tigers. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back here in a minute. We'll look at some of the other big games. Carolina versus Oklahoma. Alabama's in a fight this week. Georgia, Ole Miss, USC, Notre Dame, and more. Talking college and pro football on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader. Here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Spike texted the show. Spike said, quote, I know Vezina isn't the guy because his own coaches don't trust him to run the offense. I will say the argument, and that kind of was the point, Spike, from me.
I don't get it. You guys are, like, going off on this. The sample size is so small. He's only been in for a couple plays per game. Let's see what he can do in a game.
But that's the point. That's the point. And this is what
it's
I was.
It's the same way with every backup ever. Until they get their chance, their sample size is small. It the coaches look like they don't trust them. All this kind of stuff until they do.
You are correct.
He might go in there and Cade Klubnik may never see the field again.
You are correct.
It's possible.
You are correct. Absolutely is possible.
There's so much negativity on Friday. Let's be a little more positive.
It's not.
This kid might be amazing when he gets out
there. Might be. And the chances are better that he won't be. That's just how it works.
Because of what?
Because if he was, he'd be the quarterback.
Here's the thing. Clemson's had a pretty good streak of decent quarterbacks. Some great, others just decent, and some good. I don't think they've had bad quarterbacks that got in there where you're like, oh, no. Can you name me one?
Uiagalelei.
Yeah, who won games. He absolutely won games for Clemson.
Sure.
And it wasn't they won the games despite him. They won games because he helped them win games.
Here's the thing. And this is just another one of those spots that
there is. Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence aren't walking through the door again, more than likely. Those were at the time generational talents for Clemson. They're not going to get those. And DJ Uiagalelei was not as bad as everyone said. He was good. He wasn't great. He won games. The bad ones go in there and they get benched within a game and a half. He did not do that. And who was behind DJ Uiagalelei? It was Cade Klubnik, right?
Yep.
Why didn't he start? If DJ was so bad, why didn't Cade jump in there?
Eventually he did.
Right. Eventually.
So, the point is not it won't take time and Chris Vezina can't be a guy. The takeaway I had was, and I am not saying that Dabo Swinney was in any way, shape, or form obligated to follow the script the way that I thought the script could go, which was go hang a 70 burger on Boston College. Go make them consider shutting down the program. You beat them so bad. The script to me was go take out the frustration on the year of them so that by the time you rolled around to the next set of games where you are going to play some teams with a pulse, maybe not great teams, but teams with a pulse.
By the way, DJ Uiagalelei, 22-6 as a starter at Clemson. Is that a bad quarterback?
It's not what Clemson wanted at quarterback.
You're right. He was not Trevor Lawrence, and not too many people are on that level. I'm just saying what's bad. What's a bad quarterback? Give me a bad quarterback from Clemson. You did say DJ.
Hang on. Stop. I don't give a damn about any previous years. I don't. I'm talking about 2025. It's all I care about right now. Well, that's not true. I also care about 2026.
You're right, because these quarterbacks will not be compared to anybody who came before them.
No.
This is like clean slate. No one was ever here until this guy got here, and then we're just judging him by him.
No. I'm judging by what can and will happen.
Did you say that he only threw like 30 passes in his entire career?
Vezina?
Yes.
No, I said this year he's thrown 14.
14
passes.
14. He's being judged by that. You're sounding like a negative Clemson fan right now, and you shouldn't be. You should be more positive.
Two things. Number one, as I've said 1,000 times and apparently will 1,000 more, it's not my job to be positive. It's not my job. You want positivity? Go to the other station. That's their job. It's not my job to be positive. My job is to be realistic. And the reality of the situation is if Cade Klubnik can't go and you've got a quarterback out there who's been on campus for a couple of years, has thrown 14 passes, and is about to go duel against the guy who was a Heisman Trophy threat last year, and while the team is not as good this year, is still Kevin Jennings. And I've got to send out there a guy who's thrown 14 passes, most of them coming in two games against really bad teams and against two teams that you should have, I would have, if given the opportunity, allowed him to open it up to get the experience in case Cade Klubnik goes down. I didn't see that. And now maybe it is very simply because the team went, we don't really care about SMU. We don't really care about Louisville or Florida State or any of those teams down the line. We are only dialed in on North Carolina. We are only dialed in on Boston College. And that's fine. That's their philosophy. But in two games where you had an opportunity to send your backup out, in case you lost Cade Klubnik for a game, the season, whatever, as happens to quarterbacks sometimes, and it appears from the outside to me that you didn't trust him to open up the offense. Well, now where are you? You're in a spot where, up against a pass defense that you should be able to take advantage of because they're bad. I now have to, if Cade can't go, I now have to go with a quarterback who's throwing 14 passes and trust that he's going to have command of the offense. But the second part that I had about that was my concern right now with quarterbacks, because you are, they had a run of generational quarterbacks, but that was with different coordinators and in a different era, a different Clemson football team than it is now. And I'm worried about moving forward. And as one of the biggest criticisms, not just from me, but from Clemson fans, is concern about the development of quarterbacks specifically, but player personnel across the board. If I send out a dude that has now been through two full off seasons, one full season and half of another season, and that cat's not ready, and he clearly did, maybe he goes out there and he kicks ass on Saturday. And in a weird way, I hope he does. Because of the number, I went on the Reddit thread a few minutes ago just to kind of see what the conversation is there. And the most upvoted comment on that thread was a guy who said, if Vezina starts, and I quote, God help us, end quote. That's where Clemson fans are right now.
I'm just curious. So why is Dabo Swinney still their coach? Because obviously he can't evaluate talent, and the fans appear to be able to do so. So why are they not doing that job? I mean, if he's so bad at what he's doing, why is he still there? Because obviously he picked that quarterback and Vezina, and if he's that bad, well, so Dabo's lost his touch. Why is he still there? Why aren't you guys calling for his firing? Because you think that that this next quarterback in line is so bad, that means he's lost his touch, he can't pick players, and he needs to be gone. You need to find someone who can.
First off, let's not pretend there's not a number of Clemson fans who feel that way.
And they're always feeling like that.
Second off,
even when they're winning championships, they're complaining. That's just being a fan.
Second off, no. As a fan, you are not obligated to only and always go, everything my coach does is good and he's amazing and everything is perfect. Who cares if we lost three games and had a championship run in us, but we're not there
yet. Yeah, but you are making it sound like he cannot evaluate the most important position on the field.
That is not what I said at all. Well, what I said is
he's not ready. He's not good enough. All that kind of stuff. That's exactly what you said.
Do you think that you're just going to, and let's start with this. It is possible. It is possible. It's not probable, but it's possible that Chris Vezina goes out there and he throws it all over the field for 350 and four touchdowns. And I come in here on Monday and go, God dang, old boy can spin the bean a little bit. That's possible.
Especially since you talked about how bad the SMU defense is, their pass defense.
But on the flip side of the coin, the guy's throwing 14 passes. And he might be the guy that has the most pressure on him this weekend, considering the weakness of SMU's defense is against the pass. That's a problem for me.
Why does he have pressure on him? Why does he have pressure on him?
Because.
Is there a national championship on the line? Is there an ACC championship on the line? No, there's probably no chance they could do either. So why does he have pressure?
Fine. Then bench every starter and let's play all the backups for the rest of the year. There's no pressure because nothing matters now, right?
Yeah, you're not making sense.
No, I am.
I don't know why you get mad.
Wait. Because you are dialing in on one thing that I say I have a concern about, and you're like, oh, you negative Nancy, you. Like, you should be all flowers and happiness and rainbows and unicorns.
I don't believe I've ever said that before, ever.
Metaphorically. But if you are saying there's no pressure on him, fine. Then why would I put Cade Klubnik back out there at any point this year? Wouldn't I just let Chris Vezina start the rest of the year? There's no pressure. Use this year as a training tool to get ready for next year.
I see what you're doing. It's not working, but I mean, it's a nice try because it's not. Because you're saying, and I've already pointed this out, and I'll point it out again. You're pointing out that Dabo doesn't know how to evaluate players, especially the most important player on the team.
You're lying.
I am not lying.
You're lying.
If he's not ready, why is he not ready?
He hasn't been developed properly.
And who does that? The coach does that. The coach has developed a player.
But you said.
You were absolutely saying that.
But no, Lonzo. Evaluation of and development of are different things. Those are different things. Evaluating a thing and developing the thing is a different thing.
You're right. Developing comes down to coaching.
Yes, I agree with that.
And so they're not coaching.
But that's not what I said.
You did. If he's not ready, it's the coach's fault. If it's the coach's fault, then the coach needs to go. I mean, that's just how that works.
If Chris Vezina goes in and he is not developed after two full off seasons, a full season, and a half of this season, granted, with the knowledge that he is the backup QB, he is QBT, he's not going to get nearly the amount of live reps that Cade Klubnik does, but if he comes in and he's bad, which, again, the only reason I have brought this up is because I have got both friends and rando internet commenters that drop comments like, and I quote, if Vezina's starting, God help us, if he is bad, then I think it is fair to say, Houston, we have a problem. And that is not the same as fire Dabo.
Coaching problem. Everything you're talking about is a coaching problem.
I agree.
But right, which is what I said.
But does that right? But then you said, "Well, why don't we fire him?" That's not
because if there's a coaching problem, that is the next step. Because if a coach has been there for a really long time and suddenly they cannot develop players, they cannot get a player ready to play, well, then they've lost their touch and they need to go.
And there is a concern that that is true. And I will say I have a concern that that is true. I'm not saying
it is true.
You're
confirming everything that I said that you implied. You absolutely are.
No, I'm not. All I said
was, go back and listen later.
I don't need to. I said it. I was here when it happened. All I've said is, if you send out Vezina, who has thrown 14 passes this year, but has been on campus for the better part of 2 years now, and if he's not ready, I'm not talking about he's fine. If he's fine, he's fine. He's the backup quarterback. He's fine. If he's good, great. I'll come in and go, hell yeah, Dabo nailed it. We're back, baby. But if he goes out there and he is bad, especially after he's had back-to-back games where he has gotten good play time in, but has not been trusted to throw the ball very much. He did throw it 11 times against North Carolina 2 weeks ago, but he's thrown 14 passes in three games he's played. Against Syracuse, he didn't throw it at all. So if you're throwing the guy out there and through three games, which I agree, small sample size, but it is three games against three, one team you were getting blown out by a mediocre team in Syracuse, and two bad teams. The read for me is you don't trust him to run the offense yet. And if I don't trust him to run the offense yet, does that not concern you? Because to me, if I'm a head coach, I want to do whatever I can do that to make sure QB1 is ready to go and out there and good to go, but that QB2 is ready to run the offense if we call upon him. This isn't the NFL where, like, if QB1 goes down, it's like, okay, just write this whole bad boy off. The rest of this season matters to Clemson. Wins matter. It doesn't just matter for the attitude of the fans, but after the start of the year, if you can go out there and win out, even if you don't go to or win the ACC, at least the kids that are in the fold moving forward and kids that will be going into the portal next year, which I assume at this point Dabo will have to use for reasons like this one, you would like them to say, okay, the team had a bad start. They're not bad. But if I go out there with a QB who's underdeveloped, who's not ready, who I don't trust them in the offense, and it cost me a game against SMU, and it cost me a game because I can't throw against the second worst pass defense in college football, I genuinely will come in here Monday and go, Clemson, you now officially have a real problem. Like a real problem. If he goes out there and he throws it all over the field, and for his sake, I hope he does, because I really want to go find rando internet commenter one who said, God help us, and go, lulz, how you like him now, son? That'd be great for Chris Vezina. But if he stinks, or he's underdeveloped, or the offense isn't the same, or whatever problem happens, do we not come in here on Monday and go, you have a problem now, Clemson? Maybe it's Dabo, maybe it's Garrett, maybe it's Cade, maybe it's Vezina, maybe it's the program, but you have a problem that now will need to be addressed, and it can't be kid-gloved, or you're going to go back to the way it used to be, and I don't think anybody wants that. That's my takeaway from this. But we'll find out. Maybe he does go kill it, and we got Dylan Rayola Volume 2. We'll see. Here's what I know we have. Five-star caliber, enlightening, educating, and entertaining sports flash from the great one.
Nah, I've been yelled at and beat down so much today. It. Joe Flacco led Cincinnati to a 31-31 go away upset of the Pittsburgh Steelers last night. Flacco completed 31 of 37 passes for 342 yards and three touchdowns to Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, and Noah Fant. Aaron Rodgers went 23 of 34 for 249 and four touchdowns, including a 68-yarder with 239 left to play before Flacco led a nearly 70-yard drive to kick the game winner with 7 seconds remaining. The Dodgers are one win away from a second consecutive World Series appearance after a 3-1 win over Milwaukee in Game 3 of the NLCS. Tyler Glasnow went 5.2 innings, giving up three hits and one run, while the Dodgers needed only five hits offensively. Toronto lost Games 1 and 2, but took Game 3 and 4 at Seattle to tie the ALCS at two games apiece with an 8-2 win. Toronto saw 41-year-old Max Scherzer go 5.2 innings with just three hits and two runs allowed, and that is really good.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.